Well, good morning. This is Scott Wells from the Magic Word Podcast.com, and we're in the Orleans Hotel and Casino, and we're having breakfast, and now it's kind of early, about 8:30, 7 a.m., and I'm here with Doug McCoy. Hey there, Doug.
Good morning, Scott.
And we were going to talk a little bit about what was going on at the party last night, as soon as we get our order taken. Hold on just a second here. Okay, got our coffee orders. So, Doug, last night, yeah, the party. First of all, I guess, did you get here early, like the Saturday, to kind of enjoy some things, or did you just get here Sunday?
I got in on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, so just in time, really, to kind of register, because I understand that the registration for the last few years has been open on Saturday to kind of help shorten the lines. So I was surprised yesterday that I zipped right in. Did you have any problem registering?
Absolutely none. It was seamless from beginning to end.
Yeah, I think they handled that really well. What did you get, by the way? Did you get a backpack or a duffel bag?
The duffel bag.
Yeah. I haven't looked at that. I got the backpack because I've got enough duffel bags. But what's a duffel bag like?
It's great for travel, but I probably will add that to my duffel bag collection.
I understand. Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, if a Magic Adventure is going to give away something, and, you know, a lot of times they do, like, a Genie convention in the place, they give you, like, a little case of some sort, or sometimes maybe a tablet, which I think is kind of good to write on, to take notes and whatnot, which is interesting, by the way, that the little spiral-bound thing that they gave us not only listed the names of the performers, but also there's, like, a blank page so you can take some notes right on the thing then as well. My question is, what do you think would be a cool giveaway if you went to a Magic convention and you were going to be paying for something anyhow that they're going to give you, what would you think would be cool to get?
Boy, that's a tough one, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, you've gone to a lot of conventions. You've got some bunch of crap as I do. I mean, you know, what kind of cool crap have you got that you like?
I can always use cards.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And I picked up a couple of the 25-year anniversary cards from Magic Live as a keepsake and a memento.
Yeah, and they had some available. I noticed that as well as we were checking in here that you could buy the cards, and they had water bottles and some of the shirts and things from previous years that I guess it was from the store that it was available.
Yeah, they even have a card vending machine in one of the rooms. So
yeah, that's in the which I think is really a good idea too. That I think part of the beauty of coming to a live convention, any kind of a convention, is going to be whenever that you can session with people, and there is a great place that you can sit and session in that bicycle card room. And that particular room is pretty cool, where that, like you said, they got a vending machine actually, and at certain hours there's a bar that is open, and they got tables. But the point is, it's not kind of in the main hallway where that, you know, people are running into you or interrupting you while you're doing something, because you can actually sit in session. Someone can teach you a trick or something, you know. So it is pretty cool. Have you been in there?
Yes. Okay. And that room is open 24 hours a day.
Yeah. I think you're right. That is another beautiful thing. And during this convention with 1,600 people, that is used a lot. And it's not, I say it's used a lot, it is, although it's there are people in there, it's not always full. There's usually a table or a chair that you can sit in, you know.
Absolutely.
So, last night's party. So, you were dressed as a card shark. Explain your outfit. I thought that was kind of a clever hat.
Yeah. Well, because I flew in, I had certain restrictions on costume. So, I stopped by Party City and checked them out, and...
Were you here in Vegas when you arrived?
Actually, I flew in from Phoenix, so I checked out Party City there, and a lot of gambling paraphernalia. And, but then I saw this hat that was a shark, so when you put it on your head, it looks like the shark is eating your head. And I thought, hey, something different. I'll take some playing cards, put them on the shark, and so we've got the card shark.
Yeah.
I think, as I mentioned to you, I was going to dress up as the originator of Card Shark, but I couldn't perfect the German accent, so...
Yeah. That's about it for me, yeah.
Of course, your outfit was interesting, too.
Yeah, mine took a little bit more... little thought. Good, thank you. Okay, we're going to order here. Hold on. Yeah, my outfit was something actually that was kind of funny, that when I was around the 4th of July or so, I was at Trixie Bond's house with her and her husband, Mark, and we got this email talking about this trick-or-treat party that Stan had, and he was giving some suggestions of misdirection and different kinds of things, you know, using magic terms of some sort. And so she had come up with the idea of being a mismade flag. Miss, and she's a maid, miss, you know, maid, and the flag was, you know, on her back, and it was like, anyhow, so it was a clever idea. And she had an idea for me of having using the trick, the monkey bar, which if magicians aren't familiar with what a monkey bar is, you should do a Google search just to see what a monkey bar is. It is a pretty cool trick. It's a great thing for kids' shows and everything then, too. So, but this monkey bar is definitely not for kids because it was like a cigarette girl kind of a tray. And then I had some martini glasses, and I had a bottle of Illusion vodka there, and I had a monkey on this little tray. So it was a monkey bar, basically. So, yeah, a little bit of something, a little thought.
You fooled me on that one. I was trying to figure out.
That was kind of an arcane reach. You know, monkey bar is not something that everybody uses, you know, or whatever. But the whole idea, as Stan had mentioned last evening, was it to be Halloween, a trick or treat, and so those... Those are the treats in that room where they had pizza then last night and sweets. And then he had a movie of the black and white movies playing, you know, of the creature or something, you know, some
horror. Boris Karloff.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
And then everybody dressed up like that then as well. And then the tricks, of course, was in the dealer's room. I didn't really got a chance to spend too much time in the trick room. Because everybody's there on the first night, they're usually four or five deep. Because if you spend so much money, then you get these tickets, which you can then put into a box for a lottery. Did you buy some stuff? And
no, like you, I was trying to avoid the crowds.
yeah, that's true. Now, a lot of times they'll have like a game whenever you come in to kind of get you to mingle with people. There was this card game, and I didn't play. I'm not sure what was the game all about.
Well, you were given six. You were given a packet, and each packet had a single letter. So six cards with the same letter, and the object of the game was to spell out the word dilemma.
Okay.
So you went around the room and you traded off your surplus cards, and I was quite fortunate. Within the first 30 minutes, I was able to get the word dilemma spelled out.
Yeah.
And then when you turn that packet in, you get a second packet that develops into a card trick.
Okay. And where you turn it in, I thought was kind of interesting, too.
Yeah, it was...
Eye Doctor.
Yeah. That's right. And that was the name of the effect as well. It was the Eye Doctor effect. So
there was an Eye Doctor booth, more or less. It had just an eyeball, and then it said doctor above it, and then had a bunch of glasses and things on the table. And so I thought you had to go over there. In other words, if you were short the letter I, you were supposed to go get your I from them to spell the dilemma. So that wasn't...
I'm not sure. After I collected all the letters to spell dilemma, I had to ask somebody, so what do I do with this? They said, go see the eye doctor.
Yeah. I see the eye doctor. That's funny. So you're Whitelander. You got the same thing as me. And so there's two different colors, two different tracks. And so this morning we do what?
Well, first of all, the general session is going to start off with Max Maven. And then we'll have Mark Randall and several other presenters, including Alexa Sparrow and Erica Larson. Who are going to be talking about actually inventing the impossible with Marco Tempest. And then, of course, every year they have an in memoriam, which was a nice tribute to those.
Right. Particularly this year, we've had so many losses.
Yes.
Yeah. The focus sessions are who?
Focus section is going to be made up of a session called Fool Them with Jan Foster. Rounders with Mandy Gilbert, which will be a real experience for anyone that's never seen Mandy perform.
Yeah, Mandy has no really short arms, basically. Is that right? Or no hands?
No hands.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what this man can do.
Yeah.
And then Fred Capps, Seeing is Believing, and Dick Kornwinder. Yeah. So it's very well organized, set out. This year, unlike previous years, they handed out lecture notes at the end of every day. And this year they've decided to wait until the final farewell party, and they will have a combined summary given out to all attendees. But the book that they gave us on registration has a section on each after each performer. You have the ability to make notes,
right,
and refer back to.
I think that's a nice feature. You know, as we were saying earlier, I think that you can see who it is going to be performing. It's always going to be tough as to the three different focus sessions as to which two that you want to choose, because they're all really good in their own way and completely different from one another. It's not like they're all three mentalists, or all three are on history, or all three on children, or all three on cards. I mean, they're all different and all experts. And so, yeah. Anyhow, got a lot of good stuff in front of us. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
So, great, Scott. Nice talking to you.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Doug McCoy. Scotty out. All right, just before the general session begins, that we've got Nancy Anderson, one of the friends of Magic Word. Hey there, Nancy.
Hello, Scott.
Fancy Nancy.
Fancy Nancy. Magician, Fancy Nancy.
And so last night you were dressed up as a magician, but you're always a magician. So
I'm
how does a magician dress?
Well, I was able to wear my outfit, the one that I use when I volunteered as a hospital magician.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun to be here and learn new skills and make new connections. I just love the education part of magic.
And this was the second year, you said?
This is only my second year, and I hope many, many more ahead.
What did you see last year that made you want to come back this year?
The education, the workshops, the accessibility to magicians, and really being able to sit down and talk about magic. So I'm excited about this year's Magic Life.
Yeah, and one of the things real quickly, we'll talk about it later. I was going to say your hospital shows you're doing too, kind of interesting.
Yeah, they're doing great. I think magic and health should go hand in hand.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy. That's Nancy Anderson. Looks like we're getting started. So with Magic Word Podcast, Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells from the MagicWordPodcast.com. And that we've just finished the morning session. That's a general session. And we are wearing the white lanyards, so we had that. And those with the blue lanyards are the ones had the focus sessions. So anyhow, I came up in the dealer's room, and there was someone that I wanted to talk with who's come, a lot of people from all over the world, and one from the UK. We've got a new friend, Steve Gore. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And how many of these Magic Live conventions have you attended?
This is my very first Magic Live.
And why are you here? What made you come?
Well, I was working at the Magic Castle last week, so I combined a family holiday with Magic Castle.
Oh, and perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
It was on my bucket list to come here, so...
Are you going to be going back immediately after this is over, or...?
We're here for another day after, but we've been here for 3 weeks in total.
Mm-hmm. And you say we. Who else is coming with you?
I'm here with my wife and the three children.
Oh, okay. So when you were at the castle, did you go like to Knott's Berry Farm and Disneyland and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, definitely. We did all the theme parks and Knott's Berry and Six Flags and Disney and Universal. And
you know, your kids will appreciate your sacrifice later in life. And I say that because whenever I had, back in 1981 or so, or when it was in the later 80s, when my kids were a little bit older, and I'd taken them with me, and I was working the castle at night, and during the daytime we were doing all the things. And now that they're older, you know, in their 30s and 40s, that they're saying, you know, you really sacrificed for us because you did all this stuff and walking around, driving around, and doing all this stuff, and then we went back to the hotel and you went to work, you know, until after midnight, then got up and did it all again for a week, you know, so I'm sure your kids will appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. I did the close-up, and I also did the family brunch shows, so they got to come and see me on the family brunch shows at the weekend.
Nice. Yeah.
And then the lecture for the members on the Sunday as well, so that was a busy day.
So your lecture, which is doing close-up, you specialize in cards?
All sorts of things, really. A bit of mentalism, a bit of close-up. I do kids as well. And,
Well, it sounds like it. I mean, if you did the brunch then as well.
Yeah.
Both Saturday and Sunday?
Yes.
Brunch? Okay,
gotcha.
And I know that you got an amazing product that you probably sell in your lecture.
Yes.
That you were showing me earlier. Can you explain the effect?
Yeah. So
what it's called?
It's called Together Forever. So it's my version of the anniversary waltz. So two signed cards get fused together, but instead of the cards being aligned like a double backer, double facer, the cards are misaligned. So it's like a sort of a stepped...
Right.
The cards look separate until they actually examine them and realize it's one printed...
And they're die-cut that way to look that way, too,
exactly.
So they're perfect.
Perfectly the die-cut out. So.
And in bright light you can see, but dimmer light, like in a restaurant, it would be absolutely perfect, or cocktail parties or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect. Anyway, even in bright light, they can't tell that the cards...
Not really.
Are...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's very well made. I like it. And... Like your lecture notes and other kinds of things, where can they get hold of you if they were interested?
Just go to my website, which is stevegore.co.uk. I'm also known as the happiest magician on the planet. So you can go to happiestmagician.com. I have a shop on there.
That's why you're smiling all the time.
Exactly.
From your accent, I'm gathering that you're somewhere around Aberdeen?
No, it's half...
Glasgow?
Right in the middle. We're in Yorkshire.
Yorkshire, okay.
That's why I sound a little bit like Game of Thrones.
Okay, not all the way to the north. Okay. But no, I thought you had more of a Scottish than an English accent. That's why I thought it was kind of a... And so, okay. So this is your first Magic Live, but
yes.
Are you going to be coming back again from what you've seen or done or been around here?
Yeah, it's an excellent convention. Hope to come back again.
Yep. Now, you were in the morning show also. Now, you were not there early enough to see the opening activities and everything, but, what was it? This is going to be broadcast tomorrow, so everybody will have seen this, so you don't have to worry about any spoilers.
Okay.
What was it you saw that you liked, or what was it about the morning session that you can...
I love the Marco Tempest thing. Some of the stuff he's done over the years has been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese professors, his optical illusions were just amazing.
That was. And he was the one who got a standing ovation, after talking about that.
I joined in that standing ovation. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was something in which that... it's hard to describe because it is something that is, just as Steve said, it's an optical thing. But when you turn it one way, it was something that he had made, I guess, just from 3D printing or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, yeah. It's like 3D printed shapes that look totally different in a mirror or when you turn it around. Something you have to see.
I'm sure there's some video online that you can probably go and... If I can find that online, I'll put that onto the blog on themagicwordpodcast.com that you should see also. Plus, they actually gave everybody one of those illusions.
A 3D printed souvenir, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I was willing to buy that. It's like, no, everyone gets one for free.
I know.
Really pretty cool.
From Yorkshire, we like a bargain.
Well, who doesn't? You're close enough to Scotland to be Scottish.
Yes.
I understand. And you talk about Marco Tempest, that was pretty cool with all these drones that had lights and went around him, and it was amazing.
Yeah, and there's a nice interview with Erica Larson.
Erica Larson talking about her documentary.
Documentary that's coming out called M for Magics. So.
Which is going to be about what?
About the Magic Castle.
Yeah, about the Magic Castle.
And the history of the Larson family and
that.
So.
That's right. Let's see, who else? Of course, Max Maven was the MC.
He was very good.
Yep. Oh, and the first guy was creative director from Adobe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting sort of thought processing about how to create sort of new magic by just doing random things to select different outcomes.
For those who are listening who didn't attend, basically you would have coins... and you would put some sticky notes on each. Well, you can explain this.
Yeah, he had like some coins, some dice, some cards with sticky notes on different things. So just think about an existing effect, how you could do it differently, whether you make it bigger, smaller, in a style of somebody else, and it just gets you thinking creatively.
That's true. Mickey Silver. Hey, Jeffrey. Good to see you. What you saw the morning show then also. What did you like about it?
It was the... It's the innovations that were being shown with the drones and the lights.
Oh, yeah.
And how
Marco Tempest.
Right. And the professor with his, I forget his...
the guy from Japan.
Objects, and the ambiguous objects, I thought was incredibly fascinating.
Yeah.
How our perspective of how we look at things can be different, and I think that really applies to how we do magic outside of the ambiguous objects. We have classic tricks that in the technology new world, we can look at it differently.
That's a good point. I kind of pick up from the first guy from Adobe and carrying on from the standpoint, look at things a little bit differently and kind of throw them together and jumble them up a little bit and come up with a different kind of an idea, type of thing. So. Yeah, that was a different perspective of what you're doing. Anyhow, it's a lot of fun. Thank you guys very much.
And
appreciate
I'm really looking forward to that new documentary
on
the castle and Lawson.
Magic Word Podcast. Steve Gore and Jeffrey, last name is?
Fine.
Fine, F-E-I-N. Got it. This is Scotty out.
Scotty.
All right, well, we got out of the dealer's room, so it's not quite the cacophony that we had in there. So we're in the hallway then right now with Dana Daniels. Hey, Dana.
Hey, how are you doing, Scott?
Fantastic. So glad that you're here. So were you just working in Hawaii? I know that you work a lot over there.
Yeah.
So what's up?
I just got back from there. I did 3 weeks at Warren Annabelle's in Maui. Yeah, I'm going back end of this month for a month.
Okay.
Then I come home a week, and then I go back for another month.
So you and John Chirac kind of are the two main
members?
Who...
There's four of us, actually. Okay. Well, five if you count Warren.
Yeah.
But Warren's working less and less these days.
Right.
It's Chris Blackmore, John George, John Chirac, and myself. And so I never work with Chris Blackmore because we're both like comedy guys.
Ah.
So they like it's the way the show is structured. It's a two-hour show, no break. Mm-hmm. The opening act is a guy in a tuxedo doing primarily close-up, but it's kind of close-up stand-up.
Yeah.
Because of the way the room is. But there is a table in front.
Is there like a foyer, first of all, where they do a little bit of magic first? And
there's no. Well, they have a special way to enter the room. It's like this little
anti-room.
Bookcase room and with four doors, and one person's given a key, and they have to pick the right door to enter. And
okay.
I won't
Don't
spoil
tell me.
It
okay.
how you get in.
I've not been there yet.
And then, oh, it's beautiful. And then you go into this foyer area, and it's beautiful. Not one magic poster in the room. I always ask Warren, why? We don't have any magic posters.
Yeah.
He goes, nah, that's not the kind of club I want.
Yeah.
It's real classy. You feel like you're in a classy library in mahogany wood, and there's a big grand piano, and it's like kind of like Irma at the castle, but it's Annabelle.
Yeah.
Okay. Plays the piano.
Okay.
And just plays, and some of the waitresses sing along with it and all that. So, and if, so people have like hors d'oeuvres and desserts, drinks in there. Mm-hmm. Waiting to go into the showroom. And the showroom is seats about 80. I can't remember what the exact number is.
Are they tables or is it a theater style?
No, it's theater style, raked. Mm-hmm. And then there's
kind of like the parlor?
Kind of like the parlor, the stage area is a giant table with a close-up pad. And then there's a bar on each side, and there in each side seats two couples.
Okay.
We call them our hot seats.
Okay.
So they get used a lot. And usually it's like newlywed couples, and which we have plenty of
right.
in Maui.
In Hawaii, yeah. Of course.
And so that's pretty much it.
And the show would last how long? About 40 minutes?
No, it's a two-hour show.
It
Each
is.
Of us do an hour. And okay. I used to do it by myself. I would, when I first filled in for Warren, because he would work the majority of the year, I had to come. Warren does the whole 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I had to come in and do 2 hours, which I didn't have 2 hours. So I started talking really slow.
Okay.
Eventually I developed, it's funny because the room is so different from any of the rooms I work. You develop this relationship with the audience.
Yeah.
And then you start talking about this and this and Hawaii and this and that. And you kind of do almost like a stand-up routine.
Yeah.
In between your magic and all that.
Improvisational kind of
thing. And then boom, Bob's your uncle. You got 2 hours. And so I got kind of used to it. But boy, it used to really go rough in my voice. You know, because you do it twice a night. So now you're talking 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And in the night, I was exhausted. You know, my voice was tired. But then he decided to go with using two magicians, only because the club has his name on it, and so when people would make their reservations and they find out Warren's not there, well, I'm not going to come see the guy who fills in for Warren.
It's like the Matt King show, you know, when Stephen Bergazzi shows up.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm filling in for Mac this weekend.
There you go.
And the same thing happens there. So, you know, and so Warren thought, well, maybe if I offer them two magicians, since I'm not there, that will... you know, coax them in. And so that's how that started.
Right.
And then he decided to do like a kind of a close-up magic guy and then finish the show with a comedy, strong comedy guy. And so then, and that's how that format developed there. Now we have our own followings. We have people that come just to see us.
Yeah, is Dana there this
the
week?
The heck
yeah.
with Warren. Now, Warren does a great show, but but Warren's like, he may work, I think he's only working like 12 weeks a year now.
Well, that's a nice thing about having the same guys as opposed to like the Magic Island or someplace. We got a lot of people.
Right. No, he's real quality control kind of guy, and he doesn't want to just go through the learning curve of and it is a kind of a different room to work. Everyone who's worked it, the room kicks their butt the first couple of days they do it because it's kind of a weird. I mean, every room's different. Hmm. They kick my butt. You know, I was like. And I always kind of thought, oh, no room can kick my butt. But no, I was like defeated. And I figured out, you know, what the, you know, it's like just little things. You know, it's like getting people from their seat up behind the bar. Because the place wasn't really built for an act like mine originally. So to get someone, a volunteer to come up and stand next to me. When I first started there, it was like, okay, you have to go out this door, up the hallway, come up the back, through the curtain, and then, you know, it took a minute for them to get up there. So now it's like, okay, now I got to have walk-on music for them to get up there and walk-off music to fill that time.
Right.
And that's what used to kill it, you know. So, but now we kind of, we've remodeled the place a little bit, so now we can get people up very quickly.
So what do you do, like, when you're filling in for Mac? I know that Steve Bergazzi recently at the IBM convention was talking about, like, his rope trick. He said, this first thing I do to try to introduce my character so people know, hey, I'm not Matt King. And so, you know, he starts like at the rope trick, you know, and then it doesn't work. And he said, okay, I'm definitely not Matt King. You know, I'm me, you know.
Yeah.
So that way they know right away.
Well, I got
you know?
I got a parrot.
So it's, that's true.
Right away, that and they go, it's Tim Matt King. Yeah. It's a bird. And, no, I just, I do my regular act. Yeah. But I do, you know, an hour there for him. And so, and it's all my regular stuff and some new stuff I've had, we're working on.
That's very cool. Very nice. So you're here at the Magic Live, and I see you got like a day pass, I guess, since you're working. So is that,
no, I'm working.
How come you haven't got your picture on
there yet? Oh, because they don't take the pictures anymore on the second day. I got here too late. The photographer left. So
that's a weird thing. So what you need to do is to have someone just, or, you know, clip out a picture and stick it down there.
Yeah, or I just say that I'm wearing Matt King's cloak of invisibility. So that's why there's no picture of me there.
I like that, too.
I am there.
Now, you've been attending the Magical Life for a number of years. What is your favorite part? What do you, why do you keep coming back every year?
I think it's probably the same reason a lot of people say. Aside from the great shows and the lectures and everything, it's just...
It's people.
Yeah. It's just coming back, and it's like, I get to see all my friends at one time, because sometimes you don't get to see them for a couple of years. You know, you run into them here and there, but it's like, everybody's here. So it's...
From all over the world.
All over, And then I make new friends, too. You know, and it's and it's a great experience. It's great. And then I get the younger magicians who... Somehow they know about me, and then I get to meet them and
talk
to them.
They make new friends.
Yeah.
Very
so,
cool. Plus, I think all the sessions are really good, and they're unique. They're different from other kinds of conventions. They don't have contests or anything.
I always learn a lot of stuff. Yeah. I get a lot of ideas just from the general sessions. I love how they're done like a TED Talk, you know.
Exactly.
And that just makes it entertaining.
Yep.
And they move quickly. You know, it's not going to be a two-hour lecture with one guy, and well, they're limited to, what, 15, 20 minutes, and then they have another one?
Yeah, right.
And that's very... So if one guy is not your... If one lecture is not your kind of thing, you go, well, in 20 minutes, there's another guy.
Yeah, how bad can it be? You know, it's going to stick on it.
Right.
But he always has some pretty good
No, they're all great, though. They're all interesting, and they're all different.
In a different way. The last couple of years, they've had Jonathan Levitt and Julie Ng that have emceed, so they've got a different thing they're doing this year.
Oh, they do. I haven't seen that.
Well, I know you haven't, so I'm not going to spoil anything for you at all, because it is awesome, and there'll be some standing ovations that you'll enjoy so much also. So I'm just telling you, you're going to like it.
Wow, you got me excited. I can't wait to see it.
And the dealer's room's got a bunch of really cool stuff in there. And that she even might even hear her talk a little bit later, Erica.
Hi, Erica.
Good to see you too, Erica Larson. So yeah, she's got a project, and that I can't tell you about.
Okay. Well, I'm involved with something at the convention
that you can't talk about yet.
I don't think I can. Well, they announced what the event is. It's the Guess the Gimmick.
Oh yes. Okay.
Yes. This is not going to air till later though, right?
Tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Well, it is tomorrow. The event I'm doing is tomorrow.
Okay.
But Guess the Gimmick is, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say what it is exactly.
Probably not.
Okay.
But we could talk about it tomorrow.
Yes.
Because it'll be coming on Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah, so I can talk to you about that point.
Yeah, it's going to be a very fun event.
Yeah.
And I encourage people to come see it.
You know, many years ago, back when PowerPoint presentations were the big thing, I had an idea that I got from... I want to say like Nick Einhorn or someone at the Magic Circle, in which that it was kind of like a Guess the Gimmick thing, in which you'd have like a small picture of something and then a little bit larger, then you had to kind of guess what it was. And it's okay, it's a zigzag, you know, finally, or whatever.
Oh, or that's
it's
not a duck what we're doing.
Okay, I'm just saying this was something different. And we would give out prizes, you know, like it was. I had a talk show kind of a thing at a convention, and so we kind of had this as a fun type of a thing. But yeah, do you remember several years ago when they had, what was it, the 49 boxes or something like that?
Yes, yeah.
That was really an awesome
thing. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
So is this going to be interactive like that?
Well, the audience is interactive.
That's
with
what you have to say.
The with what's going on stage.
Okay.
I'm not even sure. Jeff McBride is involved.
Okay.
The host. Yeah. And I'm like a panelist. I'll say that.
Okay.
With a couple of other magicians.
Okay, now I have to come back to you tomorrow to talk about this.
Yes. It will be fun. When Stan called me about it, I said, absolutely.
Yeah, cool.
I love the...
premise.
Yeah, premise, which is an old premise, actually. And we can talk about that tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. Very good.
Yeah.
Until then, I was Dana Daniels with the Magic Word Podcast.
Nice talking with you.
Good talking to you. Scotty out. Well, we just finished Scott Wells, the Magic Word Podcast. Again, we just finished listening to Dick Kornweiner talking about Fred Capps. Seeing is believing, and that was really tremendous. And there are a couple of other sessions going to be going on here shortly as well. But you can tell that we're in the hallway, so it's a little bit more quiet. So I've got some quiet time with my good friend Michael Chout. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
I'm fantastic, and you're looking good. It's been a while since I've seen you, and all the way from New York City and Monday Night Magic. You're one of the guys. How's that going along?
22 years strong.
And counting.
It's unbelievable.
Now, where are you now? Because I know you moved up venues.
Yes, this is our ninth venue. But we've been here now for the last 7.5 years. Mm-hmm. We're back in Greenwich Village. Okay. We're at a place called the Players Theater, which is right next to the world-famous Comedy Cellar. Hello. Which is the number one comedy club in the world.
Okay.
So it's very surreal. I get to work, and they're doing HBO specials out front. Chris
That's
Rock
weird.
Is in our doorway.
Yeah.
I was once performing in our lobby, because if you remember, we have close-up magic during intermission.
Right.
And Jerry Seinfeld is literally outside the door. And I'm a huge fan, and I was working, and I couldn't go say hello. But it's great.
Now,
it's
that kind of in, anywhere near where that you were when you had the, what was that, the Carousel, not Carousel, what was the Fantastics? You
yeah,
had
the original, we're 2 blocks away from the original theater that we were at, which was the Sullivan Street Playhouse.
Right, Sullivan Street.
Sullivan Street, yeah.
Yeah. I think that was where I worked with you.
Yes, you
were.
You did.
Boy, things and times have changed. So, anyhow, things are going well, and
we both
same
didn't
people
have gray hair then,
and less weight.
Yes,
and so
I was being polite to the viewers.
What, the viewers,
yes.
The listeners.
Hardly.
This isn't on YouTube.
Oh, man. Where's the camera?
Yeah, exactly. So, Magic Live, you're here, and you having a good time?
I always have a good time. This is What is this? The 15th, 16th, 80th? I don't know. I've been to every single one.
You haven't missed one.
Never missed one. It's my favorite magic convention in the world.
What is it that makes this special to you?
It's a combination of the people, which is unbelievable. Every 5 feet, there's a famous magician that you recognize. I mean, it's really incredible. But Stan really goes out of his way to make it different every time. You know, you were at the general session this morning, and he says, you know, we're always a work in progress, and they've been doing it for now all these years, and it's still a work in progress because he's still trying to make it better.
Right.
And that's what's great about it. And sometimes he wins and sometimes he loses, but he's got the crowd with him, I think, for the most of the part.
Well, he says he thinks people like to come and see him walk the tightrope to see whether he's going to fall.
Yeah, well, I like to see him succeed. How's that?
Yeah, well, I do too. And he does, I think, you know, more times than not.
More times than not, yeah.
Yeah. So far everything has been stellar. I'm looking forward to some of the other things that will be going on. You were in a white lanyard, so you saw them in the general session this morning.
Yeah.
What stood out to you?
I really like. Are we allowed to talk about it?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a big secret.
No, well, we won't be posted until tomorrow.
Okay, well, there you go. So I really like the... there's a documentary coming out about the Magic Castle and the Larson family, and I really like that, and that really... You know, was great for me, and the guy in creative.
Let's say about the documentary, by the way, before people get too excited, that it's going to be like into 2020. I mean, there is a lot of post production work yet to do on this, so it's not like imminently coming out.
No, but it'll be released next year, they said, and it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Footage that nobody's ever seen. We got to see a little snippet of it. Mm-hmm. It's great seeing Erica Larson on stage this morning,
mm-hmm.
Et cetera. And I really enjoyed. The guy from, I'm going to be, it's horrible, but the gentleman from Japan.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Who had, he's a math professor who did examples of 3D
printing
and math and illusion, and it was really incredibly great. It was really good.
He got standing ovation for that.
He did, he did. And then the guy on creativity who started out as a magician and went on to Silicon Valley.
From Adobe.
Yeah, from Adobe,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the whole thing was interesting, in which that it was really telling you to be creative and that you can exercise that creativity muscle, you know, and that one guy, yeah, from Adobe was saying, put these things together and you flip a coin and roll the dice and, you know, have different names on it or whatever, so this way you can come up with new ideas. I thought that was cool.
And we should give a shout-out to Max Maven, because there's no better host than Max Maven. The voice, the knowledge, yeah. His anecdotes, collector of anecdotes, Max Maven.
Anecdotologist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Max is great. Yeah.
He was very good. So this evening shows, I don't know what's going to be on, but I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah. It always is. And, yeah. I it's funny because at Magic Live, they don't tell you in advance what's going to happen.
Right.
Although we all did get a book when we checked in, so we can look in the book and cheat.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I keep seeing people around and going, I'll bet you they're going to be working. I'll bet you they're going to be working, because it's sort of fun to play that game while you're here for the 3 days or so.
It is. And one last thing about dealers. Have you...
I haven't been in the dealer room yet. I got in this morning.
That's right. You have saved a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So you missed the party last night and everything.
I missed the party last night,
okay.
Yeah.
So you dress like this all the time. It's not just your costume.
No, this is it.
Yeah. Well, you look good in knickers.
Thank you. Shh. Well, it's good that we have listeners.
And not viewers.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Michael Chout from Monday Night Magic.
Hey, here's a little secret for all you folks listening. If you go to MondayNightMagic.com, and it's just spelled the way you would think, MondayNightMagic.com. If you sign up for our weekly email, you will get an email back telling you how to get a free companion ticket to come to the show. There's a little gift for your listeners.
There you go. Thank you.
There you go.
Perfect. That was Michael Chout. Scotty out. All right, well, we just finished with the one of the evening shows. We're getting ready to go to a second evening show, and, of course, it's those things in which that we're swapping back and forth. And I've run into a good friend from Magic Cuba. You might remember, actually, I think we talked even on the podcast back then, Nick Altieri. Nick, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
So tell me about, this is your first Magic Live. You've been to other Magic Convention, obviously, like Magic Cuba. Why did you decide to come to this one?
Well, it's my first Magic Live, and I decided to come because of a great opportunity to meet some of the great magicians, to get to know some peers, and just to see some great magic.
And meet some people, like you said. And who was it that you said that you got to meet?
I got to meet David Copperfield, amongst many people.
Yeah.
Scott Wells is another person to meet. And just some Max Maven and Mac King and some of the great people that I grew up loving in magic.
Yeah.
An opportunity to meet them was just unbelievable.
And some of the people are working, some are just hanging out, and since they live in Vegas and just stop by, it's kind of cool.
Very cool, yes.
So this evening's show that you saw, the Strange and Unusual show or something? Did you see that first
I'm
or not?
I'm going to see that at 10:15. I saw the Little Big Show and the Close-Up Show, and they were all phenomenal.
Okay, well, I can't talk too much with you about that because I have not seen any of those yet.
Okay.
I'm seeing the Close-Up Show tomorrow, the Little Big Show, that's what I'm seeing right now. I guess it's going to be over here. Yeah, it's coming in the Esplanade. Yeah, so I haven't seen those, so don't spoil that. But I heard they're good.
Excellent, yes.
Yeah. And did you go to any of the sessions this afternoon?
I did go to the sessions, the Rounder session and the Fulham session.
How was the Rounder with Monty Gilbert?
It was unbelievable, inspiring to say the least.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he has
great.
No hands, right?
Yes, and that's the thing. I saw him on YouTube before, inspired, and then to see him in live, unbelievable.
Yeah, and so what did he teach? Or did he just talk about a story or what?
He did a trick using a short round-ended card, and he taught you how to make that. And I caught the tail end of it because I didn't see the whole thing, but it just was great to hear him talk and inspiring. Very good show.
And this morning, wasn't that kind of cool when the guy was from Japan, there was a professor and talking about the optical illusion, and then he gave one to everybody.
Yes, he did. That was very cool. And the guy that worked with Adobe was very cool to see him. And there was a droid show. A guy did droids.
Yep. Marco Tempest,
Very innovative, very cool to see. And, of course, Jeff McBride to kick it all off.
Yeah, it's been very good. And a lot of more surprises and everything to come over the next few days. And that's what I think is beautiful about this, is we really don't know what's going to happen. So it makes it a mystery for everybody.
It really does. And being my first time, I know for sure I'm going to be back. This experience is going to be memorable in more years to come.
Well, I'm glad you're having a good time, and I just always love to talk to people who are here, particularly for the first time, to kind of see that glow in their eyes, like, wow, this is fantastic, and I can sense that in you. And so it's a pleasure seeing you here, Nick.
Oh, thank you. The pleasure is mine. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, too.
Oh, you're very welcome all the time.
And so for the Magic Word Podcast, and we're getting ready to go into the Little Big Show. That was Nick Altieri. This is Scotty out. So the evening show has completed, at least for me, I think, for the evening, but it's far from over. Still got some parties and things to go to, but who do I run into? But our good friend, Paul Draper. Hello.
Hey there. Thanks for having me on again.
So glad that you're here.
I haven't seen the big show yet in the showroom. I just saw this one.
Okay.
So the little big show.
Yes, the little big show. What did you think of that?
Oh, I think it's great. I mean, what exceptional performers. International acts, people that we've seen here at Magic Live before, some of them. One that I just worked with at the Texas Association of Magicians. You had Mario there this year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, but are we allowed to say, I guess this will come out later. So it's Jade and Guy Hollingsworth and Topaz. I mean, fabulous.
Great. You know, I hadn't thought about that, but until you said it, but like an international audience or performers, because we had Guy as the MC,
right,
who was not only the MC but also then was performing his classic act, and then introducing Mario the Magician as being an American, and then having Topaz coming from Germany,
which right,
was fantastic. And
really
Jade, of course,
good.
Jade's
American.
However, she does a Chinese act, but
right,
she was doing her thumb tie, which was great.
Oh, so good! And she just was on Penn and Teller Fool Us,
yes,
and is getting a lot of attention there.
Right.
I mean, really a great show, and great how every room is different. That we move into this wonderful tight close-up room, and then a stunning parlor room, and then the full 800-seat stage, that they've really set it up so that every space allows you to really experience the magic in each room as it's supposed to be seen.
In previous years, you've been behind the scenes and kind of making sure the logistics work and everything on this, but
right,
not this year.
So for many years, I stage managed the shows. This year, I'm just here enjoying. How can you not want to come to this convention and enjoy it? I'll also be coming to the SAM convention for the first time,
yeah,
because I've been writing for Mum Magazine the last 2 years.
Good.
This is my first time I'm going to go see that one.
Plus, it's here in Vegas.
It's here in Vegas.
In
it's
February,
home.
February, is that right?
That's right.
January, okay, February.
I just have to, I think February. I'm not sure. Look it up.
Yeah.
Don't quote
yeah
us.
Yeah.
But I just have to drive 15 minutes, and I'm here. It's great.
How convenient. Yeah, it's going to be great.
We need to get you out to Mindvention one of these days.
It's been about 3 years since I've
it's
last
another
been
Vegas
here.
One.
Yes, exactly. It's a good time, and I was just talking with Jan Hooven?
Yeah, the lecture today.
Who did lecture today,
yeah.
It was on, it was a mentalism effects, but it was called Foolers or Fooling You or something.
Right.
Anyhow, it was really good.
Right.
I didn't hear Marty Gilbert because he's going to be at the TAOM coming up in San Antonio.
Doing rounders.
Yes, and I figure
right
he's going to maybe talk about the same thing, so I'll see him hopefully a little bit later.
Absolutely, and then we had the Fred Capps lecture.
I heard that with Dick Kornweiler.
Yeah, those are, I have my Fred Capps ring on right now that I got from the Kay Blackstone group, the Wishbone ring.
Yes,
so
yeah. It's a wizard ring.
Yeah, wizard ring. Yeah. That's right. So, no, it's such a wonderful convention. People at home, make sure to come out, because everywhere you go, I mean, I'm sitting at dinner in the Prime Rib Steakhouse up there earlier on with the fellow that owns Mystique Dining, and in walks Amazing Jonathan, Chris Angel. You know, everybody's coming everywhere. Everywhere you turn are our heroes in magic.
I was just talking with a fellow who was saying that he couldn't believe that he saw David Copperfield in the dealer's room today.
Right, you know, in the dealer's room. Last night he was eating in Fridays.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Just like a real person.
Like a real person.
Not a billionaire.
Right, that's right. So, like as so many people say, this is a place where we can meet the people that inspire us and share ideas. I love that we had the vice president of Adobe here, who came and talked to us, a fellow that worked on the teams for PDFs and Photoshop, and he's teaching us about creativity and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a great first full day.
Oh, yeah, and then the guy that from Japan who had actually was talking about 3D printing and ambiguous 3D projects and whatnot, and then gave us something.
Right.
You know.
Where do we get the arrow that always turns right? I want one of those.
Yeah.
I want one of those.
That's what I was hoping that he was going to sell. I mean, I wonder.
That's right.
Yeah. I wonder if he's got a website or something that you can go to that. But that was very cool. So I know the next few days, again, more surprises that Stan will have, and so it's going to be awesome.
Okay. I'm going to tune in and listen like I always do. Everybody send some money into Scott. Thanks so much.
Thank you. That's Paul Draper for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. So, as I said, the shows are over. We just talked with Paul Draper, and now I got a chance to speak with a host of another television show, Mr. Bruce Gold. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, it is Bruce Gold, host of The Bruce Gold Show. Probably not a coincidence. So.
Well, it would be kind of funny if you were Bruce Gold, the host of The Scott Wells Show.
Yeah, that would just be confusing,
it
right?
It doesn't have a ring to it.
Yeah,
the same
right.
Thing. But, so, tell me where the show airs, and is it something that you can even watch on the internet?
Or? We're in season two right now. We were on cable TV and streaming for season one. We're on satellite TV and streaming for season two. It is on Roku and Fire Stick and Facebook, and there's an the network is JUL TV. There's an app for JUL TV on your Apple iPhone.
And I've got a Fire Stick, an Amazon Fire Stick, so you can get download an app.
You can find an app for JUL TV. They have a lot of other shows, but my show is, you know, one of them. And we're on season two, episode six today. So.
And so tell me about your guests. What kind of guests do you normally have?
Well, it's kind of like The Tonight Show in that we feature people from the entertainment industry. We actually have a little Tonight Show style set in Burbank. And I try to put a magician on every show.
Okay.
Usually it's two interviews. And the interviews are about 12 minutes, which is longer because most TV interviews are seven. And so,
you have commercial messages then? Or
yeah,
not?
We have commercials. And if you'd like to advertise on the Bruce Gold Show. Anyway, but you know, I like to say that, you know, when I was a kid, late at night, when my parents thought I was asleep,
yeah.
I would slide my little 12-inch black and white television over next to the bed and turn the volume on very low, and I would watch Johnny Carson. And I watched that show, and I thought to myself, this has to be the greatest job in the world. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
And it took a long time, but I'm doing it now.
Yeah. I am envious. That is so cool. I had similar dreams, and
yeah.
My best friend growing up in high school and roommate in college, that was what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
He's an attorney now and out in Sacramento, kind of, you know, didn't follow
yeah.
his dream, but I always thought, yeah, you know, he was just naturally funny also. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I mean, the nice thing about it is the type of interviews that I've been doing, I've had almost everyone on the show is someone that I know personally.
Same thing with my podcast. 90% are people like you, they're friends, you know.
So I'm kind of a little bit of an authority on everybody who comes on, and
sure.
So I know the context of what they do, I know some of their accolades, I know some of their stories, so it's easier for me to set things up in the show, and because we have a kind of a shorthand of our history with each other, there's just more of a camaraderie and it's more fun, and so that's really helped the humor of the show. So
yeah. Now, when you say the non-magicians that are in the entertainment business, are they also authors, perhaps, screenwriters, actors?
Yeah, I've had authors on and actresses and people, singers, and voiceover artists. And Michael Elizalde, who owns the premier special effects company, Practical Special Effects, in Hollywood, called Spectral Motion, I got to visit his shop one episode. It was one of our first handful of episodes. And so I got to see kind of behind the scenes about all the stuff. You know, he's did the special effects for all of Guillermo del Toro movies.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
He's got a lot of the things there and some of the animatronics I could play with. And his daughter, they also do special creature effects and makeup effects. And his daughter, Eden, who is a lovely young lady, she's working professionally now. On movie sets as a makeup artist, and we thought it'd be fun if she did a monster makeup on me.
Yeah.
So I went to Spectral Motion a second time, and Eden did a makeup on me, and that was really fun. It made a wonderful segment, and it kind of this was like looked like a hideous henchman kind of.
Yeah.
I know, no difference, right? Look, kind of a hideous henchman kind of a makeup on me, and. I'm watching in the mirror as all this is happening. Now, on the show, you see it in fast motion.
Yeah.
But I'm watching all this take place over the course of an hour. And when she gets this prosthetic, this appliance, as they call them, on my face, which really changes the shape and contours of my face and gives me the hideous look, it started to change my persona. And I'm an actor as well, so I kind of just went with it. And And as soon as she got it all glued down, my voice changed.
Yeah, to kind of
and
match
I'm
the
like,
face.
You kids today with your with your book face and your Instagram and your Insta face and your bookgram. You don't know how good you got it, I tell you. Back in my day, which was before mankind had populated the earth, it was very different, you know. And so for the rest of the interview, I kind of spoke in that voice, and it was great fun, great fun.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that you have a lot of interesting hosts or guests that are out there. You know, I would also encourage people to go back and listen to the podcast you and I had done some time ago. So if you just kind of go and do a search for Bruce Gold, I don't remember what year it was or how far back, but it was...
Yeah, FISM, right?
I think we were at FISM. But that would have been FISM in Italy, which would have been, was a few years back. It would have been 4 years or so.
Yeah.
At least. And so my point is you had a bunch of really great stories because you've been working a lot in Hollywood. And I think that the fact that you work like with the Oscars then also, you know, as a seat person and all that, you have a lot of interesting stories and background, you know. So.
Yeah, I the story you're referring to is I worked backstage at the Oscars on several occasions.
Yeah.
And so I'm literally...
You're the Band-Aid guy, too.
Yeah, right? I'm literally shoulder to shoulder with the biggest names in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's a bizarre...
The biggest night of the year.
Yeah. It's a bizarro world because ordinarily it's not uncommon to see a celebrity in Hollywood. You go to a restaurant, you see a celebrity. Not uncommon. But here, it's 100% reverse because everyone is famous. Everyone is a celebrity except me.
Yeah.
So,
that's funny.
So it's like very rarefied air, so to speak. But, you know, you also develop a certain amount of compassion for them because you see them operating in this high-pressure situation. And I have great empathy and compassion for them. And I will go out of my way to do anything I can when I see someone who needs anything. Part of my backstage duties has usually been escorting people across the darkened stage from one side to another. So I actually get to take a little short stroll with some of the biggest names in Hollywood.
Amazing.
And quite a thrill.
Yeah. Well, back for a minute on this convention. You come to this every year.
Yeah.
And what is it about
almost
this?
Every year. Almost,
yeah, well, same with me. I missed a couple of times.
Yeah.
What is it that makes you want to come back to this convention?
You know, it's really well done, and Stan Allen and his team really invest themselves for, you know, a year or more of planning to do it, and they make every effort to do it right. And usually whatever the best practice is for putting on a convention of any kind, they have studied up on it, and they've done this so often they know how to run it. And it's one of the best-run conventions with the best acts, often the newest people. And, of course, the camaraderie between the people here, many of them from the West Coast, whom I know already.
Sure.
I have the very good fortune to live in Hollywood and get to go to the Magic Castle. So it's not that I don't get to see a lot of magicians or magic. But coming here, there's something special about it because we're here for more than a weekend. And we're going and we're having meals together. We're seeing shows together.
Right.
We were just in the restaurant here at a big table in the back for 8. And everyone in the restaurant was looking at us because it was nonstop laughter at our table. We barely had enough time to... People are like, how do we get a ticket to that table?
Yeah.
So it's great. It's the camaraderie. I mean, it's the state of the art in magic. You see all the newest stuff in the dealer room. But Stan and his team put on a heck of a show. And it's always a great experience.
Now, what shows did you see this evening? Do you see the Little Big Show? And
I'm on my way to see that now.
Okay,
just about 10 minutes.
That's right. I'll let you go right now. But what about the stage or the train show? Did you see that?
Yeah, and the Strange show, fantastic. And
we can talk about that. Tell me just what you thought.
I'm not going to give anything away. I'm just
because they're not.
That's right. Oh, yeah. So Simon and Shoot. Shutagawa. They put a show on that was so funny and at once inside for the kind of people in the business and self-mocking and yet fun and funny and filled with great moments of astonishment. And I have a big booming laugh. And so I'm sure they heard me. I was at the back of the house, but I'm sure they heard me all the way on the stage. But kudos to them. They put on a heck of a show.
The interesting thing about that, the reason it was strange is because that it was like backstage back, actually.
Yes. The conceit was is that we were watching them backstage.
Yeah.
And then they would turn around and walk to the back curtain and come through it then the lighting would change, and they would come back through the curtain as if they were now on stage.
And they were reversed also.
And so it was like watching a little bit of a play, in a sense, where you saw them backstage and then go on stage. And there were some several very funny inside jokes for magicians about this show that was going on even while they were backstage.
Yeah, they're saying, now bring on this guy. Here's Bob, you know, the illusionist. And so you can hear the music behind them as they were backstage.
I thought it was very clever. Yeah. And at a magic convention where magicians have kind of seen it all, they managed to find a way to do a show that was surprising and fun and filled with
and
big
fresh.
Laughs.
Yeah. Very good. Very fresh. Start to finish. Very good. Yeah. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Great
You're
going to
enjoy the show. Always good.
All right.
Okay. To the Magic Word Podcast.
See
Bruce Gold. Scotty out.